All right, so we're going to be in Romans chapter 12, if you want to turn your Bibles there, Romans chapter 12. I actually had a few different things planned for the day. A handful of post-it notes on my desk, different ideas for to prepare for a sermon for today. I participate in a Bible study with some guys from different churches, and we actually went through this past Wednesday in Romans 12 and had a real good discussion. So there's a lot here to benefit the Christian, and I thought it would be good to run through this, and hopefully we're edified through it. So Romans 12. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. For as in one body, we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function. So we, though many, are one body in Christ, and individually members of one of another. Having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them, if prophecy, in proportion to our faith, if service, in our serving, the one who teaches in his teaching, the one who exhorts in his exhortation, the one who contributes in generosity, the one who leads with zeal, the one who does acts of mercy with cheerfulness. Let love be genuine. Abhor what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Do not be slothful in zeal. Be fervent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in tribulation. Be constant in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints and seek to show hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Never be wise in your own sight. Repay no one evil for evil, but give thought to do what is honorable in the sight of all. If possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave it to the wrath of God, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. To the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink, for by so doing you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. So Romans 12, so a bit of background here before we get going, and I'm not going to be able to give everything the time and context it deserves, but for the purpose of today, you know, we're going to have a pace here and get through it. So Romans 12, I got to give you background first. So, you know, in the first 11 chapters of Romans, Paul has been telling believers what God has done for them. So he's essentially been telling us what God has done for us. You know, that's a quick way to summarize it. Paul's talked about how the righteous shall live by faith. He's talked about God's righteousness. He's talked about how we are justified by faith. He's talked about how we are beneficiaries of the promise given to Abraham. He's talked about how we have peace with God through faith, how we have life in Christ, how we are slaves to righteousness, how the law shows us our sin. Paul has told us we are heirs with Christ. We have assurance of our future glory through Christ. Paul has talked about God's sovereignty and election and how we are grafted into the true kingdom, thus becoming beneficiaries of Israel's unbelief. And this brings us to chapter 12 in Romans, where Paul tells believers what they need to give God. So first 11 chapters, this is what God has done for you. Now we're in chapter 12, And Paul's telling us we need to give God something. And it's not a giving in a way that we're earning anything as far as our salvation. Okay, it's a giving. It's a life pleasing to God. Okay, essentially, Paul's telling us what our life in Christ should entail, or what our life in Christ should look like. And that is what Romans chapter 12 is about. So we will get into it here. So 12:1. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. I appeal to you, therefore. Well, we see a therefore. We have to ask why it's therefore. What Paul is saying, you know, I appeal to you, therefore, because of, or in light of, the fact that you have been justified by faith, hearkening back to the previous chapters, because you have peace with God, because you have life in Christ, because of these realities, Paul is telling us to present our bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God. So Paul's encouraging believers to live for Christ. We as believers are to give our lives entirely to Christ. We were bought with a price. We belong to Christ. We have been brought to life from the dead. And if Christ is our Lord, then he is Lord of everything. Our time is his time. Our money is his money. Our talents, our gifts, our wisdom, our abilities all belong to Christ. So Paul is saying we are to live our lives, or we are to use our lives to honor and glorify Christ in all that we do. So how do we do this? How do we present our bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God? So how to do this is essentially what Paul is telling us in this chapter, okay? How we present our bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God. So Romans 12:2. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. So do not be conformed to this world. Do you love this world? Do you love the things of this world? Are you being conformed to this world? We are all being conformed to one of two things, right? We're either being conformed to this world, or we're being conformed to the image of Christ. It is one or the other. There's no neutrality. We're either progressing towards being conformed to the image of Christ, or we're progressing towards being conformed to this world. And if you want to know if the world holds sway over you, think about these questions. What do you do with your time? Is it spent on things of the world? Or is it spent on conforming yourself to Christ? What do you do with your talents, gifts that God has given you? The world or Christ? What do you do with your money? Do we chase after this world? Chase after things of this world? Continually add to our possessions? Or do we chase after Christ and his kingdom? So are we using our time, talents, money in pursuit of the things of this world? Or are we seeking after Christ? Do not be conformed to this world. Do you love the Word of God? Do you love the church, the bride of Christ? Do you love the fellowship with the saints, your brothers and sisters in Christ? If we are to present our bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, then we must be conformed to the image of Christ, not to the world. So how do we do this? Well, he tells us in verse 2 here. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind. So do not be conformed, but be transformed. Our minds are transformed through the leading of the Holy Spirit in the reading of the Word of God. If we practice spiritual disciplines such as prayer, reading the Word, fellowship with other believers, then through the grace of God, our outward actions will begin to match our inward reality. Our outward actions will match our inward reality. So continuing in 2 here. Do you want to gain discernment? Do you want to understand the will of God? Then read and study the Word of God so that your mind may be renewed. Do not be conformed to this world. Be renewed. Be conformed to Christ. So do not be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind. Romans 3. For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. So remember, Paul has shown us how to present our bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God. Okay, it always needs to be in the back of our minds as we go through 12 here. So verse 3, don't overestimate or overvalue your abilities or gifts. Make an accurate assessment of yourself. Use sound judgment. Utilize the gifts God has given you. Use them through faith to glorify Him. He continues in 4 and 5. For as in one body, we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function. So we, though many, are one body in Christ, and individually members one of another. So the diversity and unity of the church is being compared to the diversity and unity of the body here. So Paul's comparing the body, the human body, to the body of Christ. So verse 4, just as we have one body with many members, the members have different functions. Just as we have one body, he's talking about our human body here. Okay, we have hands and feet. Our hands and feet have different purposes, they have different functions. You know, we use our feet for walking, standing, running. We use our hands for grasping, holding. Part of the same body, but they have different functions. The same thing can be said about the body of Christ, the church. Verse 5. So we believers in Christ, though many and different, are one body in Christ. We are all united to Christ and heirs of Christ. He explains this farther in verse 6. Having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them. It's Romans 12, 6. Having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them. So we in the body of Christ are given different spiritual gifts. We need to use these gifts we are given to edify the body of Christ and to glorify God. That's what Paul's telling us here. So what are some of these gifts we are given? Well, we see that in 7 and 8. Remember, we're keeping in the back of our mind, we need to present our bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God. And this is how we get to that point. This helps us in our sanctification process. So Romans 7 and 8. If prophecy, this is then to 6. If prophecy in proportion to our faith, then on to 7. If service in our serving, the one who teaches in his teaching, the one who exhorts in his exhortation, the one who contributes in generosity, the one who leads with zeal, the one who does acts of mercy with cheerfulness. So do you want to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God? Well, then use the gifts God has given you. So some are given the gift of prophecy, which is essentially preaching, proclaiming the Word of God. Some have the gift of serving. Some have the gift of teaching. Verse 8, we are to exhort and encourage one another with the gift of exhortation. Continuing in verse 8, we are to contribute or give, but we are to do this generously. So these last three, Paul puts a caveat on them, all right? These last three gifts. So we are to contribute or give generously, we are to lead with zeal, and we are to be merciful or show mercy, but we are to do this with cheerfulness. So we are to contribute or give, but we are to do this generously. So Christians are called to be generous with their time, their talents, their money. We are to give of ourselves, not for ourselves, so that God will be glorified through our generosity. And if we're called to lead, we need to do it with zeal. Right? If we are called to lead, we need to do it with diligence and earnestness. A lazy leader will not lead for long, and a lazy leader will not glorify God. We as Christians are to be merciful. We aren't to show mercy begrudgingly, but with cheerfulness. It shouldn't be an attitude of something I have to do, but an attitude of something I want to do. So we're to perform acts of mercy with cheerfulness. So we want to present our bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God. On to 9 through 13. Romans 12, 9 through 13. Let love be genuine. Abhor what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Do not be slothful in zeal. Be fervent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in tribulation. Be constant in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints and seek to show hospitality. Do you want a life that is pleasing to God? Do you want to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God? Paul's given us the blueprint here. Verse 9. Let love be genuine. Abhor what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. We as Christians are to have genuine love, not love that comes from our feelings and emotions, which you see a lot in the world this day. Not a love that is fleeting, but we are to love from our heart, our new nature in Christ. Paul is telling us that we please God. Christians please God when we, verse 9, hate what is evil. We please God when we, verse 9 again, cling to what is good. We please God when we, in verse 10 here, love our brothers and sisters in Christ. We need to love our brothers and sisters in Christ. We please God when we, verse 10, show each other honor and respect. And we please God when in verse 11 here, we are not lazy Christians. Right? We please God when we are not lazy Christians. And when our priority is to serve the Lord. So don't be slothful in zeal, be fervent in spirit, serve the Lord. So don't be lazy. Your priority should be to serve the Lord. We please God when, verse 12, when we rejoice in hope. And we as Christians have hope. We can rejoice in hope. Our hope is grounded in the atoning work of Christ on the cross. We should be joyful people because of that. Right? This life is fleeting. It goes by in a hurry. Rocky was just talking to me about that this morning. It goes by in a blink of an eye. But we can rejoice in hope. We can know that our work done in serving the Lord is not done in vain. We may not see the fruit, but we can rejoice in knowing God will use our work for His purpose. We as believers can rejoice because our hope is in Christ, and He will not fail us. He will not fail us. continuing in 12. We please God when we are patient in our tribulation and trials. That's a tough one. It's a tough one for all of us. Be patient in tribulation and trials. I think it's a lot easier role to be the one that's comforting and the one that's giving advice and encouraging people through it than to be the one going through it. But we please God when we're patient in our tribulation and trials. When we suffer for Christ, we have the opportunity to be an example for other believers who may have to go through the same trial or tribulation as we are, right? I know we have some people in the church that do that and do it well. So we please God when we, chapter 12, or verse 12, have a constant heart attitude of prayer. We please God when we have a constant heart attitude of prayer. When we are in tune with the Spirit of God and when we are communing with God, we are to have a constant heart attitude of prayer. So we please God when we are in tune with the Spirit and when we are communing with Him. And this is something we can do in our daily lives, right? It's a heart attitude. It's not I have to be down on my knees praying all the time, right? Nobody can do that. We have lives to live. But it's our attitude. It's our heart attitude. We can commune with God through our new nature, our new heart. So we please God when we, verse 13, contribute to the needs of our brothers and sisters in Christ with our time, talents, and money. So we need to contribute to the needs of our brothers and sisters in Christ. And we please God when we, verse 13 again, show hospitality. As Christians, we are to seek out, look for opportunities to help others, especially our brothers and sisters in Christ. So how do we present our bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God? Well, Paul's laying it out. He's laying out what it looks like, what is pleasing to God, what our new nature should bring about, what it has wrought in us. So Romans 12, 14 through 21. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Never be wise in your own sight. Repay no one evil for evil, but give thought to do what is honorable in the sight of all. If possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave it to the wrath of God, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. To the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink, for by doing so, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. So if we do not want to be conformed to this world, if we want to be conformed to the image of Christ, which I think we all do, then our lives should exemplify or bear certain characteristics, right? If we want to be conformed to the image of Christ, then our lives are going to bear certain characteristics. Some fruit is going to show through. So our life in Christ should allow us to, verse 14, bless those who persecute us. Bless them, do not curse them. So we are not to retaliate against those who persecute us. Instead, we are to treat them as a friend, essentially. Another hard thing to do. Very hard thing to do. But if you want your life to be a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, this is what it looks like. So our life in Christ should allow us to, verse 15, rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. So we are to rejoice with those who rejoice, and we are to do this even if it is at our own expense. Even if our circumstances or blessings seem paltry in comparison to theirs, we are to rejoice with them. So if you have a brother or sister in Christ rejoicing, you are to rejoice with them. And we are to weep with those who weep. We are to show compassion and mercy toward the hardships, sorrows, and sufferings of others. We are to weep with those who weep. Our life in Christ should allow us to, verse 16, live in harmony with others. Do not be haughty, associate with the lowly. Live in harmony with others. We need to be able to get along with others as so far as the law of God allows. All right? We need to get along with others as so far as the law of God allows. Meaning, we live in harmony, but we aren't going to transgress the law of God or go against the law of God to have harmony with others. We should not be haughty, puffed up, boastful. Not things that Christians should exemplify. On the contrary, we should associate with the lowly, right? Help those in need, the outcasts of society. Christ himself gave us this example multiple times in the Gospels, associating with the lowly, the outcasts of society, those in need. So we are to, verse 17, repay no one evil for evil. Do what is honorable. We discussed this in verse 14 already. We are to bless those who persecute us. Bless and not curse. Repay no one evil for evil. Do what is honorable. We are to be forgiving and gracious toward our enemies, which will hopefully commend us to them and to others. Right? Do what is honorable. Be forgiving and gracious toward your enemies, which will hopefully commend you to them and to others. It's an example Christ set. So we are to, verse 18, live peaceably with all. This is essentially the same principle we discussed in verse 16. We need to live in peace and harmony with others as long as the law of God allows it. Right? As long as it's up to us, we are to live in peace and harmony. Get along with your neighbors. Get along with your brothers and sisters in Christ. Do not cause contention. Do not sow discord. We are to, verse 19, never avenge ourselves. Leave it to the wrath of God. So we are not to take vengeance on others. We are not the judge and jury. We are to leave it to the wrath of God. And that is stated multiple places in scriptures, a couple of them. You know, I know the Lord says in Hebrews 10:30, Deuteronomy 32:35, vengeance is mine, I will repay. So vengeance is the Lord's, not ours. Never avenge, leave it to the wrath of God. That brings us to 20 and 21. If our enemy is hungry, we are to feed him. If our enemy is thirsty, we are to give him something to drink. By doing this, we will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. So we are to overcome evil with good. And we can do this, as verse 20 tells us, by feeding our enemy when he is hungry and giving our enemy a drink when he is thirsty. So we return good for evil, that we may bring our enemy to shame for his hatred. We return good for evil, so that we may bring our enemy to shame for his hatred. And this is what it means to heap burning coals on his head. Put our enemy to shame. And hopefully, God willing, our enemy's shame would lead him to repentance. So that brings us back to the beginning of Romans 12. Do you want to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God? Do you want to glorify God with your life? Then do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind. If our mind is renewed and we are being conformed to the image of Christ, then the fruit we bear will confirm this reality. If our mind is renewed and we are being conformed to the image of Christ, then the fruit we bear will confirm this reality. So if we want to present our bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, then we will use the gifts God has given us to edify the saints and build the church. We will love one another. We will abhor what is evil. We will not be lazy, but fervent in serving the Lord. We will rejoice in hope. We will be patient in tribulation, and we will have a heart of prayer. We will contribute to the needs of fellow believers and show hospitality. If we want to present our bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, we will bless those who persecute us. We will rejoice with those who rejoice, and we will weep with those who weep. We will live in harmony with one another. We will associate with the lowly and outcasts. We will not repay evil for evil. We will live peaceably with others. We will not avenge ourselves. Vengeance belongs to God. We will care for our enemy, and by doing so, bring them to shame. So our new nature in Christ, along with the indwelling Holy Spirit, will allow us to make these biblical characteristics of a life in Christ a reality in our own lives. Our new nature in Christ, we as believers, along with the indwelling Holy Spirit, will allow us to make these biblical characteristics that Paul's listed out here in chapter 12. These biblical characteristics of a life in Christ that will be made a reality in our own lives. And through the grace of God, we will be able to present our bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is our Christian duty. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, just thank you for your word. Bless it, and just be with us this week and help us to glorify you in all that we do. I ask this in your name. Amen.
Would you please stand and turn in your purple folder again to page 11 as we sing, Great is Thy Faithfulness.